Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Watch the Film Podcast, Let's Talk. My name is Scott.
And I'm Steve.
And on this episode of Let's Talk, we are going to be diving into the genre of sci-fi.
Science fiction.
Thank you for the correction there, Stephen.
Yeah, you've got to get it right.
Will anyone get the reference of that? That's the question.
Yeah, that's sort of a film, isn't it? That's sort of a sci-fi comedy.
It is a sci-fi comedy, which you knew straight away without having to Google.
I had to Google the name of it. So it's like one of my top 10 films. I don't have top 10 films. One of my top 10. It's in my list of films that I always go to.
Comedy films.
And I had to Google it.
That may come up later on in the podcast. And before we dive into the world of sci-fi.
So, yeah.
I was hoping you'd... That was your setup. I thought he'll do this the full episode every time I say sci-fi. Before we dive into sci-fi...
Science fiction.
Where can people find all of the other fiction-based content of ours, Stephen?
Very good. On all major podcast providers.
That was terrible, really, wasn't it? They certainly can. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Watch the Film Pod, or you can go to the website at watchfilmpod.com.
Yes.
Science fiction, sci-fi. Jokes aside, don't correct me every time I say sci-fi. this genre of sci-fi, bit of a big one to dive into, but we'll give it a go.
Yeah. There's so much content there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Because sci-fi, it covers
so... It's a bit of a cross-genre, isn't it?
It covers so much. So you could class a lot of things as science fiction, can't you?
Well, I just did a quick Google before we were on it, because you were obviously we're going to talk about pre-2000s versus post-2000s and have a look at a bit of a landscape like that. But I've put in top 25 sci-fi films of the 21st century just to get a feel for that.
Yeah, yeah.
There was Iron Man was in there and
but it is
technically
though, isn't it?
Is.
Yeah. But it's science fiction.
Yeah, but by that kind of backs up the point that genre is pretty much any film that's fictional and has a form of something that can't happen in the real world, that's pretty much science fiction, isn't it? I think I've just nailed the definition.
It does, yeah, it covers everything, doesn't it? You've got Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter.
Mm.
It's Harry Potter fantasy. Well, fantasy is science fiction, so fiction.
But the genres do cross.
There's so much, isn't there? Transformers, you know. But for me...
You've just said it in your thing there, The Truman Show gets mentioned.
That
wouldn't be the quintessential sci-fi film that you'd say to somebody, would it? To specify that genre.
Just what you sort of referencing there is the greatest sci-fi movies ever, The Definitive Guide. It's a special collector's edition that I've got of Empire magazine from the year 2000. And
I think it's made a guest appearance on the podcast before.
I believe it's made a guest appearance on the podcast before.
Returning
to the podcast. Welcome back. But no, it's always been a go-to guide for me in my sort of history of films and things that I like to watch. And it's a good source of reference. But for me, it's a definitive guide of what they class then as the greatest sci-fi movies ever. The greatest sci-fi movies ever. I had to read it again then. The greatest horror? What's that? Picked up the wrong magazine. No, but it's the greatest sci-fi. Yeah, it's the greatest sci-fi movies ever. Now, I was thinking about this last night, and I thought if you were to actually look at what are the greatest sci-fi movies of all time. If you was to do this list again now, so this was 2000, so what, now 2023? Mm-hmm. If you was to do this 23 years later, how many of these films would you still put on this list? Now, there's a lot of these, I've just read these out to you, there's some films on there you've not seen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of films on there I still haven't seen. I've never really wanted to see some of them because they're very, you're talking, I think the earliest film on there is Metropolis, which I have seen, 1926. But, it's an old film, but Sleeper, 1970s Woody Allen film. I saw that years ago, but I wouldn't put it as a great sci-fi movie. Mm. So when you think there's so much more content now, it's kind of like what we do with our list, where we put a definitive, ultimate watch list. So when we create that, and we're creating this ultimate watch list that'll just forever getting bigger and bigger and bigger. At some point,
if we ever get around to finishing
the next episode,
which funny enough is Back to the Future,
which is
a science fiction.
Science fiction. But yeah, for me, once we have get to a certain point, a cut-off point, because I think we've sort of, what we've done the last few episodes is, we've kind of stopped with our made podcast, haven't we? Mm-hmm. We've been doing a lot more of these, and a lot more of these bite-sized chunks of content mm-hmm. that we've been doing. We will return to the main podcast at some point, and when we do, I think that'll be the, let's finish the last part of the season and box it off there, and then we'll look again at what we're going to do for season four. You know, this has been like the phase three that went on forever
of the MCU. Yeah.
Phase three that's gone on for a year and a half.
Tight and resulted in a hoodie. We had a hoodie
and a mug.
Yeah,
and a mug. Yeah.
And then phase two
came
like,
and went so quickly. Came and went. You know?
And it ended with a bit of the Age of Ultron phase.
Yeah, and there's the Iron Man 3 in there.
Phase
3's been forever.
Yeah, we introduced new characters, on. Like, Let's Talk.
Let's Talk, and the bite-sized chunks of that content that we've got there.
But, old classics came back. We had Iron Man 3. Sorry, we had Season 3, Season 3 review,
and then we've had the special episodes that appeared, really good, like the new Marvel content that's gone on Disney streaming. Yeah,
you know, if you're not a listener, this is the first.
This means absolutely
nothing.
Nothing's
here.
So
please feel free.
It's day one, which you know our friends in wherever they are. I don't know.
In Slovakia.
Slovakia. Or wherever.
How
are
you doing, guys?
You know? We went out before. Was there somebody in Slovakia?
Yeah,
or Russia,
I mean, according to Spotify's like region stuff. I mean, how accurate is it? I don't know. But we're global. Sensation.
We're global. Yeah, we've gone global with the podcast. Yeah, but no, joking aside, when you look at some of the content that's out there of films now, and what would you define as being on this list of being really great films? What would you say to you know
what from now? Or do you mean from that?
Yeah,
we'll
looking
carry
at
over.
That. Yeah, there's certain things on there. So Star Wars appears on this list, and you know. Everyone thinks Star Wars is such a cult classic film, and it's always like high on people's watch list. Do you think now that Star Wars, after everything that's followed it, so I put this to you last night, didn't I? I said, I'll give you four sci-fi films, science fiction, I'll give you four sci-fi films that are really classic films. Terminator, Aliens, Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park's classed as a science fiction film. Jurassic Park, what was the other one that I said to you? The Matrix.
Yes, that was right.
So there's four films that came out in the 80s and 90s that are sci-fi films. Now, every one of those has had a sequel, a reboot, or something that's followed it in the last 10 to 15 years. After the year 2000, so say 2000, mid-2000s onwards, they've all had something that's followed those. Has everything that followed it been as good as it? Or it hasn't, has it? Nothing.
No.
The last Matrix film that came out wasn't... Yeah, didn't blow anyone away, did it? It was, if anything, it was more like a sense of what's the term? It's more like
they were like making up for
something, weren't they? Yeah. Like a little bit of a nostalgia, really,
weren't
they?
Yeah.
It was that kind of thing. But yeah, you think of things like Terminator: Dark Fate that came out. Is that done anything good for the legacy of this Terminator films? I think what you find is the things that follow it. Kind of don't really do any justice, do they? Like so if you're thinking Jurassic Park in 93, Jurassic World in 2015, I thought it kind of did. I thought that was good. But then what's followed that has just made it a bit of a parody, hasn't it?
I think...
And just let me say, right, so you got Matrix in 99, the Matrix film that came out, the Matrix Resurrection in 2021, or Terminator Dark Fate in 2019, has done nothing for the legacy of T2. T2's still a benchmark film. Aliens in 86, Alien Covenant. In 20 years' time, you can look at Alien Covenant and say, oh, that's such a benchmark film. Aliens still is. So has it tarnished their reputation? Has it added to it? Has it improved
I
it?
I think it's a difficult one to answer. I mean, on the surface, I think some of them are easier to discuss than others. Because I think, personally speaking, I think Jurassic Park will always... have like a special place in people's not as people but in cinema history because of probably the technological feat it was at the time.
It did, because it was the first time really that I mean it kind of was like the start. It was your blue screen as opposed to green screen, but it was kind of the benchmark that
and the way that
some films have come before it, but this was really Spielberg looking, because Spielberg's an innovator and he sees this with actors. You see it where he'll take child stars like or he'll take up-and-coming stars, and he knows, he can sort of sense who's going to be a fantastic actor, or who's going to be a, you know, a Hollywood star one day. And he kind of uses them early on in the careers. And you see that a lot in his earlier films. Mm. I mean, not everyone he does, you know, ends up being a famous star, but a lot of them do, you know. So he sort of makes people, if you like. Mm. And he did this with the technology as well that he's done with, and this style of filmmaking. You see him being like an innovator in that sense. But yeah, you know, so Jurassic Park was kind of...
Yeah, and I feel...
That sort of side of it, that start of the blue screen, green screen, yeah.
The films that have come after that, the discussion is always, oh yeah, but they're not as good as the first one. So yeah, I feel that the legacy of the... just simply yes or no, are we discussing the legacy of those films or legacy of the franchise?
I think legacy of the films.
The films, yeah, right. So to me, Jurassic Park is probably untouchable in that.
Yeah.
And I would imagine... The way the Jurassic World ones have gone, you probably won't. They won't go to that well much longer.
I think it's pretty much dried up.
Yeah.
Though, yeah.
So I think Jurassic Park's probably safe in that bubble. So when you reference Terminator, are you referencing Terminator or Terminator 2?
Terminator 2.
Terminator 2. So Terminator 2, as you say, is often like quintessential, like what a film kind of thing. Probably on a number of fronts. Almost looking at the sequel, like because you know stereotypically a sequel goes down.
Yeah.
You know, I watched Terminator in lead up to us doing Terminator 2. I thought Terminator was a bit like Sugar the Show. Yeah. It didn't do a lot for me. Terminator 2 was good. You know, Terminator 2
still holds up today because of
that's a good shout
that
as well.
Cinema technique that is used in these filmmakers.
I don't think what's come after in the Terminator franchise, you look at other things in there like the Sarah Connor Chronicles, things like that.
Yeah.
Sarah Connor, that's a name.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good name.
you know, things like that they've tried to milk that franchise a little bit. But I don't think it has affected the legacy of Terminator 2. I'd even probably say that with the Alien franchise, because I think that's such a... Aliens is... And was it Aliens again? You'd referenced it in that one.
I referenced Aliens and Alien Covenant.
Yeah, Aliens is such a good film as well.
Yeah.
And again, I think Prometheus did its best to probably really rip the soul out, like rip the car out of that franchise, because that was such a strange take. But again, Aliens is probably safe in that conversation. Yeah. I think Star Wars is the one that's...
And that's what I was going to say to you.
Yeah, that I think is probably at risk of...
Because I think Star Wars is...
of being damaged.
For me, I didn't have Star Wars listed there, but Star Wars is, you know, I did mention it earlier. For me, Star Wars is such, you know, it's a benchmark film, it's a pinnacle film, it's you know, a point in, it's like a culture point in history, isn't it? Star Wars. When you think of everything that's followed it, I think there's certain stuff that's better than that now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I also think that when you watched, I can't remember which one it was. I can't remember which film we watched. Watched one of the original trilogy recently. And with all the CG that's thrown in, and it's kind of, it's a little bit like watching video games.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That. It's just like, oh, it don't really, and it doesn't fit
help.
Now. I don't think it aids the extra scenes that they've put in. I don't think it aids the film that much. I think you can actually tell now. So I don't think it's done anything for it. And I think these films are sort of slightly dated. Now, you referenced those two, the Terminator film, the Alien film, Aliens and Terminator 2. They don't look dated anymore. They still look crisp and fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Matrix still looks crisp and fresh. Mm. I watched it a year ago, and it still looks as good now as what it did back then. So maybe it's because of that they still look good.
Yeah, yeah.
That they maybe hold a little place on a pedestal, if you like, you know. In terms of the maker list of greatest sci-fi films, still would have them on there.
That I feel with Star Wars, though. So you've just referenced. So take Matrix for example. Matrix is 1999, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So you had two sequels after the Matrix, didn't you?
Yeah.
And then I know that we're not, just for the sake of this discussion, we're not going to reference there was like five animated things.
Yeah,
I remember
we're not
a big
talking
box
about those.
We're talking about mainstream
movies,
to cinema movies. So you then, when was Matrix Resurrection?
2021.
Right, so that's 22 years you've had four films.
Yeah.
Right? When did Star Wars A New Hope come out? That was 70s, wasn't it?
77.
Right, 77. Yeah. You then had you had those three, which were in
the space
of 10 years.
Right? Yeah, 8 years.
So 8 years. and then you didn't have another Star Wars film till 99.
1999,
Phantom Menace,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you've had episode 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, Solo, Rogue One.
Yep.
You've also had Obi-Wan series. You've had two series of The Mandalorian, three series of The Mandalorian. You've had a Boba Fett series.
Yeah.
And I mean, all right, for fair argument, we're not referencing the animated stuff, but they've had so much Star Wars animated stuff there as well. And to me, what they're doing, and let's face it, I know, I think what happens with Star Wars, and Star Wars slowly to me is becoming a cult thing.
Yeah.
I don't mean like in a negative sense, but like a cult classic thing. Because I feel the more content that comes out in that ballpark, it's just pushing the original stuff further away into like insignificance, if you like.
Yeah.
Because I feel to someone just getting onto that train now, you're going to show, oh, let's watch them in the order they came out. You'll show them the first one, like you say, you'll be like, oh, no, I'll pass, thanks. Because that's very dated, not what you showed me that it's going to become kind of thing. So, I don't know. I think Star Wars, out of them four...
If I was to put an ultimate list together, I don't know if I'd have that on there. Yeah, now, that sounds really unfair, because I know there'll be people listening to this, of our 8 viewers, listeners, who'll be listening to this now. But there will be people who one day listen to this and say, well, you can't say that, it's Star Wars. How could you not have Star Wars on that list? But I don't think I could. We've sort of talked about this before Star Wars, because I think we've referenced it a few times. But when we look at some of the other films on there, it's more apparent now than it was in the year 2000, because I watched some of these films off the back of first time I'd ever heard of them. The Omega Man, 1973, The Omega Man, Charlton Heston, based on the 1953 book from Richard Matheson, I Am Legend. Mm-hmm. So we've got I Am Legend, cracking book. I've read it several times. I think it's a great book. Very dated, but it's of its time. It's in the 1950s, but it's a really good book. Watch the film, The Omega Man. It's so 70s. It's unbelievably so 70s. When I watched it in the early 2000s, 2002, 2001, I think it was 2001 after reading this magazine, it was like, wow, this is really dated. Then there's a new version, the 2007 version with Will Smith. Mm-hmm. But even that now looks dated. Yeah, even that looks really dated. Yeah,
well, it did at the time as well. I remember the
graphics on it again was, we're talking
the creatures like the, got a lot of beef, didn't they? At the time,
the creatures look like The Rock, don't they? Yeah, you know, like that kind of. We're talking PlayStation 2 graphics again, and that maybe goes back to what we're saying. I've said this before, where we say about when you look at George Lucas and what he did with Star Wars, where he re-edited them, he realised that they were ropey. I better re-edit them and update them and bring them, buff them up and make them a bit better. I've always said that I think I Am Legend is a really good film, that you could do that with that and it would help the film. But at some point then you also say to yourself, would you just remake it? I think they actually have done a sequel to it.
All right, okay. There's talk of
making a sequel to it. But yeah, I don't know. It's a hard one. Looking at this list of films we've got here now, like The Fly, 1986, Jeff Goldblum films, Cronenberg film, would I put that on that list? No, I wouldn't, because I think that's very dated as well. So it's hard what you would actually say the greatest sci-fi films.
Can I just jump back in?
Yeah.
Just going back to Star Wars as well. I will give... So hang on, let me put this point across so it'll make sense. We were talking before we recorded about like... Because I said, didn't I? I was like, what is sci-fi? Because literally sci-fi could be anything, right? And you'd said about like Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and things like that.
Yeah.
And I looked just like off the record kind of thing. A definition of sci-fi is a fictional world where things go on in that world where that aren't possible in human existence or whatever, right? So technically, pretty much any fiction could fall into that bracket, right? Now, you look at Harry Potter, you look at Lord of the Rings... Yes, they've got highs and lows in their franchise, but they're a generally well respected like piece. Aren't they? Lord of the Rings is a big thing, and Harry Potter a big thing. I think they were written to be like that, weren't they? Obviously, because you've got three books, you've got eight, seven books, however that wants to be. Star Wars, the original Star Wars, is often spoken about because of the story that it starts, and that original Star Wars trilogy has a story, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Whether it was intended to be that way, whether it was intended to be 4, 5, 6, it obviously wasn't or whatever, but fine. It has a contained story.
Yeah.
I think all those films that we've spoke about, if you didn't have anything that came after them, Terminator 2 slightly is the anomaly there because that is the sequel. But
well, Aliens as well. Aliens is a sequel.
And Aliens.
Yeah.
If you didn't ever have anything that came from it again, they would go down as like a quality piece of fiction.
Yeah.
So you look, fast forward to where we are now, right? And you look at some of the stuff we've had, Interstellar, Inception, I'll Move Away from Nolan, you've had The Martian.
Yeah.
You've had, you know, some quality. Have you seen The Martian?
Yeah, yeah.
Some really good science fiction, like, films.
Yeah.
If you had an Interstellar 2, or if you had The Martian 2.
Yeah, and this is what I'm saying.
Like,
what I mentioned
I
earlier.
You would start to see, not necessarily tarnish the original, but you'd start to question, like, what are we doing here?
Well, it's like what we said before about Scream. Yeah. You're on Scream 6 now. Scream was such a good film.
Yeah,
did
you
really need five more films to follow it? No. Does Star Wars need all the content?
I don't think Star Wars does.
I don't think it does.
I would probably have a slightly different opinion.
That cash cow will get, you know, get taken
out. That's what I was going to say to you as well.
Again
right?
and again and again.
So you look at... So just jump to what the MCU... Because the MCU's got some dates, right? That's my reference. They've just pushed Avengers, the Secret Wars one, back to 2027, right? So that's 4 years. So in the next 4 years, there's going to be, let's say, 10 films in that franchise. Star Wars have just announced that their next, like, 8 projects or something.
Yeah.
So we're looking at probably another 15 years of Star Wars content that's good to go.
Yeah.
So what's that? 2000. So you'd be touching 2040.
Yeah.
The original will be nearly 3/4 of a century old.
Yeah, it's like, crazy, really, isn't it?
That right, isn't it? 77. So yeah. 23. Yeah, so you're 73 years.
Yeah.
63 years. But, you know, you're going to get my point. So you're almost at the point where it's like, well, hang on, we're that far away from the original one. Like, we've kind of lost identity. Whereas I reckon a lot of the... It'd be interesting to see how many of them are just standalone films that have made your definitive guide. And when you look at, like, those top lists, you know, I know I like Nolan and things, but he's got some quality one-off pieces of storytelling.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, don't forget he's done like the Batman trilogy, hasn't he? He did that, but he has still got science fiction. He has still got some. I'll stop doing that now. Can't stop doing it. But he has got some really good standalone pieces, hasn't he? Here's another one for you: 1933, The Invisible Man. You wouldn't look at that now and think
not seen that one.
Oh, shocking! Absolutely shocking.
Fun fact, right? I actually haven't seen that one, but I've seen the remake that came out a couple of years ago.
Which one was that then?
The 2020 summit one.
Is it the one with Kevin Bacon?
No.
Because in the year 2000, Kevin Bacon did Hollow Man, which was kind of like a remake of that.
2020, starring...
Oh, I know which one you mean.
Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That was really good, that.
Yeah.
That was pretty... And again, right, just go on, let you finish
what
you were saying.
No, go on, you're right.
Because I feel it was a different... It was a slightly, like, evolved take on the film. So you've seen the original Invisible Man.
How
is he invisible in it?
Well, he's all wrapped up in bandages with glasses on.
So is it like a condition?
I think it's... I can't remember, actually, that long. I saw it when I was a kid. I think he takes a potion and becomes invisible. There's been that many versions of it.
So there's
the Invisible Man, and there's Kid of the Invisible Man, and all this. So there's all sorts of films. And then in the 80s, they brought out films, The Invisible Kid. I'm getting them too mixed up. But The Invisible Kid in the 80s, and then Chevy Chase did one, Memoirs of an Invisible Man.
The Invisible Man 2. Yeah, you won't see him coming.
Yeah. But there are so many versions of it, and sequels like that. But yeah, it's...
But in that one, in the 2021, it's a tech thing.
Right.
So I think he's a stalker who makes like a suit that has these, like, obviously it's better than this, but like reflective elements to it that prevent people from seeing him.
Right. Okay.
And he's invisible, but it's a tech thing. And I felt that was quite an interesting evolution on that story.
Here's one for you. The Invasion of the Body Snatchers, 1978.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that in itself was a remake of the 1955 one. It stars Donald Sutherland.
Right.
Again, I don't think you've ever seen that. Jeff Goldblum, a real young Jeff Goldblum in it. That, again, is a really good film. I think it kind of does stand alone, even though there's been and I'm going to guess the year now. I'm going to guess around 2007, 2008. Maybe 2006. So around that time, The Invasion, Daniel Craig and Nicole Kidman, that was just basically a remake of that. Again, that's a good film.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah.
The Daniel Craig
But
one.
That's a good film, but it's not up there with that. That's still, for me, the 1978 version with Donald Sutherland still has something about it that I would still have that on the list. So it's really strange what you would still class of. Like, if we look at what we said at the beginning, where you said, what we'll look at the year 2000 being like a benchmark there. Everything before it, I mean, there's a lot of content there, but everything before it and everything after it, what would you, which side would you put, you know, if you did a list from the year 2000 and a list from now, what would still be on it? It's hard. It's very hard.
I mean, I'd probably, because we know, it's no secret, we've discussed it a few times on here, that a lot of the older stuff I haven't seen.
Yeah.
So right. My touchstone,
your go-to is a bit different to myself, because I've seen a lot of these.
And you probably saw out of other things.
Definitely, yeah.
But, you know, I look at things like Arrival that's come out, you know.
I'm trying to think which one,
Amy Adams and
Jeremy Renner,
yeah. You know, that's a good film, a really good film. But I feel what you're finding is there's probably a lot of rubbish ones in there.
Yes, yeah.
Because I feel it's probably easier to get a film out now. And Netflix have done a lot of straight to Netflix films, not to hit on that as a platform and things. But so I reckon it's easy to make a sci-fi film now because you've got a lot of reference. You can rehash stories that have come from before. So I reckon if you was going to sit and make that list per se, you probably still would have a lot of the ones that are in there on there.
Yeah, maybe so.
Because they were maybe they broke the mold or because they came first.
And I think that's the thing, isn't it? I think when you think of a definitive film, it's because it was probably the first one, not because it just maybe stood. I think there's a few things. It maybe broke the mold. It stood the test of time. Mm-hmm. You know, like we've referenced some of these films saying they haven't stood the test of time, but people still think, you know, it's that nostalgia thing as well it takes you back to your youth. That's why people of a certain age now just love Star Wars, you know. But then you've got people coming through, you know, like for you, I think for you, Iron Man and that will always be a benchmark in your cinema history when you think of the, you know, when you're older and you think, wow, Endgame, wow, you know, like that.
I will be honest, hold on to your hats, right? I did think the other day, I was listening to a couple of things and I was thinking, like, we probably won't ever reach the height that you did
with Endgame
in the MCU with the Endgame.
I don't think you will, because Star Wars, it's oversaturated now.
Because you are just, and you maybe question that, like you say about Star Wars, it's the money.
Yeah.
I reckon there's an element of that with that, that it's like, we can just keep, this is going to generate income. They've spent billions upon billions of buying different properties. They've got to make that money back somewhere, aren't they? And then some. So,
I think of everything what you can sell to go with that. Any products out there, any toys out there, all the t-shirts and things, like everything, all the things that go with that. There's so much money to be it's the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it?
It's probably a really marketable genre though.
Yeah.
Sci-fi.
Yeah,
like,
for
things like that, for games and for stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, you look at horror as a genre, for example, you don't have many, obviously, different age bracket, but there aren't many kids' toys for the horror films, are
there? No, there isn't, and it's more of a collector's thing, isn't
it? Yeah, and your horror games, I game a fair bit. Your horror games tend to be original games, so like Resident Evil, for example, or a Silent Hill, things like that, or they've maybe come off graphic novels and things like that. You get the games about the sci-fi films.
Yeah.
You know, you get your Avengers games, you get your, you know, there's all sorts of Star Wars games. You get a lot of them, don't you? So I reckon it's easier to use a sci-fi film to push stuff off. You know, you've had Aliens games and things like that down the years, and there'll be tons more. But
Definitely.
Yeah, I reckon it's a strange genre in that sense.
What's in that genre then? What I mean, because it's such a broad scope, really. In there, what's your go-to? Because I've always referenced that. I keep saying referenced. I always say that. Time travels, man. I always love time travel. Anything with time travel, there's just something about it I just love. I just love that element of science fiction. For you, what is it? I mean, because you've got other things like aliens, visitations, dystopian, so dystopian futures and things like that. You know, is there anything like that sort of sticks out for you that when you think of science fiction, you think that, or fantasy? Could it be like, you know, your Lord of the Rings, that sort of thing, your Dungeons and Dragons? Is it what sort of
Dungeons and Dragons?
Dungeons
I'm a huge Dungeons and Dragons. No, I mean, take Marvel out of it. Because I feel that all the Marvel films could fit into sci-fi, and that's a big thing for me.
That's the thing for you.
Take that out of it.
Yeah.
I'm a big space fan in a film.
So it's space for you, then. Yeah.
I've referenced a minute ago The Martian,
yeah.
Interstellar, Moon.
Yeah.
They're three really, for me, really high on my list of films.
Yeah.
Maybe look at that. And when you say dystopian, are you referencing post-apocalyptic?
Like Mad Max and post-apocalyptic, yeah, so Book maybe, of Eli, things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'd maybe go in that bracket then, because I mean, yeah. Children of Men. Like
Children of Men, you.
Great film. The Last of Us.
Walking Dead. Yeah.
They're falling. I know The Walking Dead and The Last of Us maybe lean a bit more into the
TV
horror
series
side of it as well.
Yeah.
But I feel The Last of Us definitely is looking at the world, its dystopian future, isn't it? So. Yeah, I'd say maybe they're those two.
Did you watch Westworld?
I've seen the first two series.
I've only seen the first series. I've never seen any others. But again, that's based on I've actually got the film. I bought it on eBay on DVD about a year and a half ago, and I've kept it wrapped because it's on my list. I can pay £1 for that at the car boot. We're laughing here because before we recorded,
he was working out your prices.
I was working out my prices for my car boot. I'm going to do on Saturday because I've got so many DVDs that I just want to get rid of.
For our Eastern European listeners, a car boot is
it's like a jumble sale,
a yard sale.
But yeah, it's you go basically into a field with your car, you open your boot, you get a little pasting table.
Weird, isn't it?
I'll explain it. Hello and welcome to Watch the Film Boot Sale.
Watch
and
the
I'm
car boot
talk
podcast.
I'm going to tell you about car boot sales now. And you basically set up a pasting table, which is pasting table is what you decorate with.
Very Eastern European.
So anyone doesn't know a pasting table, but set up that and you put all your junk that's in your shed or in your loft or in your house, your shed and your loft in my situation. And you just basically sell it to people who want to buy your junk.
For our Eastern European listeners, a loft is an attic.
A loft is an attic. Yeah. Jack said that to me yesterday.
He
said, where's the attic and where's the loft? Mm. I went, the loft is the attic. Yeah. He went, so where's the basement? I went, we haven't got a basement. He went, why have we not got a basement? I went, I don't know. We didn't buy a house with a basement. He went, I kind of think we need one. I said, I kind of think we probably do, but for the amount of stuff I've got, but I'm going to have a car boot at weekend. He went, what's a car boot? I did.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
If you can tell him to listen to this.
Tell him to listen to this, he'll know all about it.
There's a bit of time travel involved.
There you go, time travel again.
But no,
daft here, but science fiction, time travel for me every day.
What would you say is, if you had to, don't put you on the spot,
go on then.
Top three time travel films then? Because I've just named my top three space ones.
That's so hard, isn't it? I don't know. It's a really hard one. I mean, your Back to Your Futures have got to be in there, aren't they? And again, I think that...
Which is your favourite Back to the Future?
I think we'll discuss this on a future podcast. On a future podcast.
Oh, very good, yeah.
Like that. But for me, I think the you've got that nostalgia thing there again. It's like people who are a little bit older than me love the Star Wars films because it's what they grew up with. I grew up with the Back to the Future films, so I've got that, it reminds me of my childhood. There's a big thing there for me with Back to the Future. So Back to the Future is definitely going to be on there. But if I think of some of the newer things, what's that? What's that one with Ethan Hawke in it? I'm trying to think.
Oh, Stephen.
Is it Premonition?
I think so.
It's not Premonition.
It might be.
It's not Premonition.
I might be wrong.
I'm telling you now, it's not Premonition.
Source Code's a good one, by the
way. Source Code was the other one I was going to talk to you about.
Oh, was it?
Source Code is another...
It's not Premonition.
It's not Premonition.
Predestination. I knew it began with a P.
Oh, I got it before he could even type it in.
It's
Predestination, yeah.
And
really...
we call every film that we don't know what it is, I'll be like, Premonition.
Premonition is a film with... Oh, is it Sandra Bullock?
It's Sandra Bullock, yeah.
Sandra Bullock and... Ooh, I can't remember his name.
Ethan Hawke.
It's not Ethan Hawke. The guy who was in Home and Away in the 80s. And he was in Nip Tuck, and I can't remember his name. He was in it. Anyway, you're going to look that up now, aren't you? He's going to look up who that is. It wasn't Alf Fisher. but he's going to look that up. I think it's Carl somebody.
Oh, I've just searched Predestination.
He's searching Predestination.
Premonition.
But yeah.
It was.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock.
And.
Is it Carl somebody? I'm hoping it is.
I've got Julian McMahon.
Oh, that's the one.
Was he in Home and Away?
He was in Home and Away. He was Victor Von Doom in the Fantastic Four.
He certainly was, yeah.
Anyway, but that, again, Premonition. That wasn't a bad film. There's like say
Plot
for
twist,
me,
I've not seen Premonition.
Have you not seen?
No, I've seen Predestination.
Wow. Still got it right.
Yeah, yeah.
But Predestination and Source Code, really good films. Mm-hmm. Another one for me, science fiction. What's the name of it? I forgot the name of it. Is it Future Crown?
Is it Premonition?
I can't remember the name of it. I love the film and I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, you've told
the Spanish one.
You've told me that before.
Time Crams. I mean, what a film that is. It's so. There's so much there. I mean, this is a conversation for another day. This because
I've been put off by the subtitle element of it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You've often sold me
I
to said, watch that.
It's just there's just something about that I really enjoy. And then a kind of like a it's sort of based upon that because Tom Cruise was going to make that film. Mm-hmm. And he didn't, but he made, what was the one he made with Emily Blunt?
Edge of Tomorrow. Yeah. See, that's class as well.
It kind of is that sort of film because it sort of takes elements of that and uses that to, you know.
Is there another one of them?
I think they are. I think I read that as well. Yeah, there's going to be a follow-up to that, which, again, that'll be good.
But fun fact.
I mean, if we're talking about like
just,
films, what
sorry,
we'd make on
Edge
list.
Edge of Tomorrow, though. Hang on. Edge of Tomorrow is based on a Japanese film, I believe.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go then. It's not,
so
it's
that
not,
might be
it's not based on that.
But that might be inspired by. So.
Yeah, yeah. But, Edge of Tomorrow for me, I think that's another one that would be on a list. If you was to look in the last 20 years of science fiction films, it's got to be up there. Mm-hmm. Like you said before, there's so much there to pick from. It's hard to actually put a list of top three films.
It's adapted by a Japanese science fiction light novel, called All You Need Is Kill.
Right.
That's where it's adapted from.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, very good. But, for me, that it's hard to pick three. I'd probably say... Yeah, I'm going to say the three Back to the Future films. So I'm just going to play it safe.
Just in case. The Time Machine.
I'm not actually saying one of those.
That's a good one. I've seen
Time Machine. Which one? The original one or the...
I'm thinking early 2000s one.
Early 2000s.
Minority Report as well.
Oh, who's in it? What's his name? Guy Pearce. I mean, that's dated now. Have you seen it recently? I saw it a couple of years ago and it's not stood the test of time. Minority Report. Getting them in. Minority Report. Really, really good film. I think that'd be on my list as well. Yeah. I think what we'll need to do is we'll actually need to come back to this and
do a top ten ultimate sci-fi watch list. Cool. Yeah,
that'd be something we can come back to, and I think we'll do that on another episode as a special. But yeah, I think we've pretty much wrapped up everything here.
We have. I'm just going to pose you a little question, right? So, you think there about Matrix, Star Wars, Jurassic Park, some more of the niche ones that you reference some there, and there's more in your guide and things, isn't there? I wonder if in 30 years' time, people will be looking back at your Interstellar, your Arrival, Under the Skin, which I spoke to you about the other day.
Yeah.
Annihilation, which was I really enjoyed that. I mean that was bizarre, but it was like cool. It was weird sci-fi. It was interesting. Yeah. I wonder if we're living through now some of those that
are
in
one
30,
day gonna be
years
on this
time,
list.
People will look back at you still might get your the odd 1930s one on there, but are we going to start to see some of them creeping into that
conversation? Well, I think you would see some of them drop off.
I think you would because
of the age, like, you know, and we've said this before, like, Citizen Kane always classed as the best film ever, then it's not on lists now. What was the other one that used to be, like, Gone with the Wind, things like that. Mm. They're not on these lists now because they're of a generation and people have passed away, sadly, and things like Vertigo are top of these lists now, and then eventually people will pass away, and you know, Star Wars are top of the list, so they're not now. See, what's replaced your Star Wars? Things like Shawshank Redemption, that's all like over 30 years old, you know. So the people that kind of make up these lists have maybe been younger at that time. Yeah. So,
well, yeah, if you ask Ben, I mean, if you ask me, but I suppose if you ask Ben to write down his top 20 films.
Well, top 20 sci-fi films, but anything really.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, top 20 films.
You can guarantee that it probably wouldn't have any of the
Most of mine that are on there.
Yeah.
And this goes back to like the age difference between myself and you, that when I've said to you about things like Vertigo, that I've watched these films and I think they're brilliant. And this is what, again, I really love about our podcast and what we do is the main show, what we do, where we come together and, you know, I'm not going to say it. actually said in the beginning.
Where can the fan know?
And where can the fan know this? Yeah. But no, we come together and we discuss these films and dissect them and look at that. I'll be doing it again.
Finally deciding
what makes the ultimate watch list. No, but we look at films and I bring something to you that I know you weren't seeing. You know, I think it's good like that. So there's like that generational thing between us that I think is really good.
I think it's fair. But...
And I think it works quite well for that. But I do agree with you that in 10 years' time, what you're going to pick now is completely different to 10 years' time. And that's what I like about this go-to guide. Yes. This definitive guide I've got here that in my hand now that's 20 years old. Looking at or 23 years old, there's maybe about 4 films on there that I would still pick.
Yeah, yeah.
I would still pick Westworld. Mm. Westworld's great. It's a really good film. E.T.'s on there. Would I pick E.T.? Maybe I would. Aliens, definitely. Mm. Terminator 2, definitely. Matrix, definitely. So they still would be on the list.
It's almost like a time capsule, that, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Yeah. I think that's why I've kept it and kept it in such good condition, really, because it is for a magazine that's 23 years old. It's very good condition. And I think that's why I've looked after it like this. Mm. And I've got a number of others that we can always
do. You're missing one, aren't you?
I am missing one. I think. I've got them all now.
All right.
The one that I was missing, I actually bought on eBay.
Yeah, yeah.
I got it. It was the horror one. But I think this is something that we could do again on another Let's Talk, where we pick up action, comedy and things like
that. The horror one's the one you've referenced.
I think it is, yeah. I've talked about the horror, haven't I?
It was the Halloween episode.
It certainly
was.
I think I brought it down for that, yeah. But
I apologise. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast.
Sci-fi and Empire Magazine.
Science fiction. Yeah. But no, it's... it's a shame that I think, you know, if Empire, anyone from Empire Magazine's listening, which I know there will be, but if anyone's listening, please come back and make another one of these because it's quite a shame that they've never ever gone back and done this.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that should be done. Mm. I think, you know, and I think that's because they do it. Well, that's why we have a podcast.
Indeed.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. But yeah, I feel that was decent. We've had a nice little chat. But I do agree with you. We should. That's just like a part one of our step into sci-fi. I feel we can come back to that and do a good...
I think there's more we can talk about there. So if you've enjoyed listening to this and think that there's more we can talk about, where can they find... No, I'm not pitching you,
lads. That was awesome. That was good.
Where could they find that, Scott?
I'm flabbergasted. That was excellent. Like that. Yeah. They could find us on all major podcast providers.
Right, brilliant. And thank you for joining us. I'll be back over to you, Scott. It's your part.
No, that was good. You enjoyed that? Yeah. So, where can they find us?
All major podcast provider.
They certainly can.
What he said.
And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for What's the Film Pod. Or you can go to the website. I got that one wrong. The website at whatsthefilmpod.com. And if you are visiting us from some dystopian future that's only got podcasts available as their form of entertainment,
very good.
Welcome.
And if you are travelling back, welcome, bienvenue. If any reference there, anyone who's listened to a previous podcast from there, again, science fiction.
Sci-fi.
No.
Yeah, but no, I enjoyed that. And I agree, there's some in there that probably will be locked in that conversation.
Yeah, definitely,
But there are some that, as time goes on, they may fall away from the conversation and be lost to time itself.
Yes.
Nice little.
You like that?
That one was good. I enjoyed that, Stephen.
Like Jerry Springer's final thought, that one.
It was.
Remember
Jerry
Springer?
Yeah, his
final thought. Hi, guys. Welcome to my final thought.
We should do that.
No, we should not do that.
All right. We won't do that. I'm done. I'll hand over to you to sign us off. Thank you very much for listening.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye.